A scary signal seems to have arisen within the U.S. healthcare industry where they're seeing deaths and disabilities and sickness that they didn't expect.
The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity. We're going to be discussing this today, which is the excess deaths and morbidity, that's sickness, illness, that have hit the U.S. health insurance companies. And this just came out last week, July 2nd. On Wednesday, Centene, the health insurance company, crashed. You can see way over here, that little red blob right there is the stock price. Sure, it looked like it had a what we call a head and shoulders. It was due for a correction, but that's massive. What happened? And by the way, this is not a small company. This is a very, very large company. If you haven't heard of it, it's very big. So going to Grok, which is now Super Grok, by the way, there's a share link down there if you want to find the same language I just got up here. So what happened was on July 1st, Centene announced that it was withdrawing 2025 generally accepted accounting procedures, GAAP, and pulled all of its guidance for 2025. Shocked investors. The reason for the withdrawal was that in 22 of 29 of its health insurance marketplace states, that's 72% of its membership, revealed, one, lower market growth. Enrollment growth was slower than anticipated. So, oops, right? Was it growing slower because there were fewer people to enroll? Maybe, because the other bullet point was they were experiencing higher morbidity. Patients were significantly sicker than expected, leading to higher medical claims. This was materially inconsistent with the company's assumptions for risk adjustment revenue transfers, which are federal reimbursements to balance the risk of insuring less healthy populations. So they have these massive actuarial tables. And sort of like, if you know how many people get sick per 100,000, it stays in that band and that's pretty tight. Well, that's not what happened. Their risk models got blown out. People substantially sicker than expected. So how do we account for that? Well, we're going to take a look at that. But first, here's the stock price itself. And you can see that massive plummet over here. And then very helpfully, later in the day, these yellow dots would be analysts downgrading the stock. It's amazing how they work. Now, that's a huge decline, nearly 38% in the past couple of days here. That is a big decline. So who are the bag holders? Well, the usual crowd. That would be Vanguard, BlackRock, FMR, Norges Bank, State Street Corp, Harris Associates. Those are the biggest bag holders, but Vanguard, the biggest bag holder of them all, holding 11.56% of all outstanding shares. So that's a pretty big deal. Anyway, these are the bag holders, usual suspects in there. Wall Street. So Wall Street's now not very happy. Of course, pensions not very happy. Individual people holding ETFs and things like that also not very happy. Carrying on, Molina Healthcare, also down about 18% over the past few days here. Elevance Health is down 6.7%, 6.8%, not that bad. United Health, not down that much over the last few days, but of course down 40% over the past 6 months because it's past 3 months, really. But it's having extraordinary difficulty. In fact, when we look at the overall healthcare sector in general, remember this was supposed to be the decade of the healthcare. They're going to all this healthcare. They're cramming premiums up people's rear ends and denying claims and doing all sorts of things. And it turns out when you look at the XLV, which is a healthcare broad ETF of the healthcare sector compared to the SPY. So you divide the XLV by the SPY, which is the S&P 500. If that nut line is falling, then the XLV is underperforming. Why? Because the denominator is getting bigger. So the overall number is getting smaller. And so what do we see? Well, this is the biggest underperformance in the past 24 years. So healthcare not doing all that great. Of course, did fantastically well in the context of the Obamacare. Been sort of bouncing for a while. You would think COVID would have sort of really juiced it, but now it's really cratering. Why is that? Well, one of the things is if you have to pay for sick people, and there are a lot more sick people for some reason, here is total population with a disability. Now, this is a self-declared status. They do a survey. They say, have you had a disability, something, some condition, which has prevented you from doing X, Y, or Z, going upstairs, holding a job, things like that. And then people say yes or no. And so the number of people who've declared that they have a disability went from averaging about 29 to 31. So that's about a 2 million person range. So let's call it averaging around 30 million, just trucking along here, 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, even through COVID, no big change. Everything's bouncing. But in May of 2021, it broke out of that box. And now people with a disability is up 4.5 million since then. What could account for that increase of such a rapid and dramatic increase? 4.5 million more people on top of all the old other ones, more people self-declaring as having a disability that started in 2021. That would be the kind of thing that normally would get me a strike and or a CDC message down at the bottom of this, because you still can't talk about this for some reason. Here's the data, and there's still some sensitivity about it. But you know what? I don't care about their feelings. So if you are that 26-year-old with a man bun who's got my account in that cubicle out there in San Francisco, and you're thinking of, should I strike this guy? Press the button, because here we go. We also know that the U.S. military had unexpected and unexplained deaths for reasons, something related, you know, just illness, right? So they have a very, very stable line. Here was the trend. Illness-related deaths had been trending down for quite a while in the U.S. military, doing a better job of making sure they don't have illness-related deaths. And then they have this big spike that spiked out in 2021. So in 2020, they had 43 extra unexpected deaths or excess deaths. They had 106, though, in 2021. So that's another 61 people, even beyond 2020, that died. And it's not COVID in 2021. So what could that be? And then in 2022, another 28. Every one of those is not a statistic. It's tragedy. So what could account for that? And then also we might note that in May of 2025, the United States Social Security Administration reported the largest single monthly drop in Social Security payments on record. A massive 7.3% decline in Social Security payments. So normally this thing, you know, bounces a little bit. Mostly it's green. It's way up green because there are more people retiring each and every year. So they're making more and more payments. And then this, why are there suddenly not as many people to be paying money to? Now, I know they're supposed to be potentially this could be explained by rooting out some of the fraud, waste and abuse. We know that DOGE found, I don't know, millions of people who were on the rolls allegedly, but who didn't belong in there because they were either dead or non-existent. That's possible, but I think those are going to hit in future months. I don't think they've quite rooted those out yet, but maybe that's it. It's always possible, but still, it's a data point for us. Carrying on, we would note that this isn't just US-centric, that for some reason, New Zealand and Australia had this huge excess mortality spike, not in 2020 during COVID, not even early in 2021, but up here by 2022, massive increases in mortality. So this is deaths per 100,000. Normally, let's say, and you can see the trend here was just fewer and fewer and fewer, right? So either your population's getting healthier or younger or something, but that's, or it's smaller. The population is smaller overall. But for the most part, this would be, since it's deaths per 100,000, the prime explanations would be you're getting healthier and healthier or younger. And so you can see the trend happening here, for a while, but then it breaks out of this box right here in 2021 and goes spikes way up. So instead of, say, the expected maybe 700 deaths per 100,000, now they're seeing 761 and 31. So yeah, 30 to 50 more deaths than expected per 100,000. That's a lot of people when you're talking about populations of millions. What could the explanation be? Now, we'll get to that explanation in just a minute, and I'm going to talk about fertility rates, too, very quickly. I want to just talk about the testimonials we get at Peak Prosperity among our subscribers. These are all unsolicited. People just all in their own write in. Here's one. I'm going to give you two just for May. Rob Laporte write in, Chris's emerging synopsis is a reason I subscribe here. The reasoning backing his thesis is solid and detailed way beyond what can be summarized even in an hour. And he goes on to explain that. That's what I do each and every week. I take my thinking cap, I put it on. In this case, we were talking about AI and the signs we're seeing there, lots of warning signs there. Now, as well, somebody said from Gozep said, Chris, I greatly appreciate you continually analyzing the irrationality and how it's not organic. It's keeping me from going crazy, knowing that I'm not the only one who sees it. So it goes up. Yeah, that's big reason I do what I do, so that we all know that we're not going crazy. You're not going crazy. You're not alone. So if you like this kind of content, this is just from the past week over at Peak Prosperity. If you haven't seen this one on property tax fraud, you're going to want to do that. But after taking your blood pressure medication, it is infuriating just what a massive fraud property taxes have become in the U.S. I do a weekly fat pipe, which is just a big breakdown of all kinds of topics. Dave Fairtex writes these amazing Sunday. Every Sunday we get an amazing market update. Goes very deep. And then this is a public piece here. You can tell it doesn't have a little premium tag on it. But if you found you're slipping names or nouns, not able to complete sentences, or like you just have to work harder to think, you're going to want to check that piece out. That's a really good piece. A lot of great comments on that. And then also last Friday, I talked about how, well, if we're lucky, we've got 2 more years before the digital prison is sort of constructed. So if you're interested in all that, peakprosperity.com membership, please come by. We would love to have you as members because we are entirely supported by our membership. No conflicts of interest. Now, back to the storyline. German fertility rates have plummeted. So here you can see it's by age group. So 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, and so on, clocking on all the way through year by year to 49-year-olds down here. This would be how many births do you get, right, within this age group per 1,000 women. So this is hovering, 15-year-olds hovers right around zero. See, that range goes from 6 to minus 4. So that's the zero mark right there. Pretty much they don't have teenage pregnancies there in Germany. 16-year-olds, nope. 17-year-olds, nope. Now 18, they're starting to have, see here, they expect to have 30 births per 1,000 women. Something happened right at 2020, a very normal amount, but then it starts clocking down. It clocked down from 30 to just under 20 within the 18-year-old group. Now look at the range. Now this is hovering around with an average of around 42 births per 1,000 women who are 19 years old. And again, 2020, fine. 2021, sort of okay, but now really falling off from, say, 43 down to 30. That's a huge decline. Within 20-year-olds, same process. Within 21-year-olds, same process. Let's go jump all the way to the prime childbearing years in Germany, which would be the years 27 to about 32 or 33 or so. Now you can see they're expecting huge number of births. It should be between 140 and 200. So this declines off all the way from, it was already declining even before they got to COVID, within 27s and 28-year-olds, but you can see these big drop-offs, which are peeling off tens and 20s of births, live births. Look at this one here for 30-year-olds, a very prime age-bearing age for maternity and childbearing women, and 30 years old in Germany, going from, let's call that 250 here in 2020, having fallen off all the way to about 175 here in 2024, with the last time they took this snapshot. Massive declines in 37-year-olds. Interestingly, by the time you get to 44 and beyond, it sort of levels out. There aren't really big declines. But where do you see it? Starting with the 18-year-olds on through mid-30s, just catastrophic declines in fertility rates. Again, centered around something that happened, mostly looking at these charts, somewhere around 2021. Now, what could that be? Once again, we're going to turn to Jeff Childers, who I think just captured a lot of this really beautifully. He writing here about the Centene Corporation stock crash, which we opened with. He said here, the crash in the yellow part, quote, was caused by devastating new actuarial data showing that Centene's Affordable Care Act, that's Obamacare, enrollees are sicker and costlier and fewer than expected, especially in 22 states where Centene holds significant market share. Next yellow part. Now, analysts warn that the Obamacare risk pool is unraveling with spiking Medicaid costs and mispriced premiums dragging down the entire industry. Bluntly, insurers had bet on healthy growth, but have hemorrhaging patients instead. Centene Corporation is one of the largest health insurance providers in the United States, specializing in government-sponsored programs like Medicaid, Medicare Advantage, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. Headquartered in St. Louis, Centene serves over 28 million members. That's about a tenth of the entire country, primarily low-income and vulnerable populations, making it a bellwether for the broader managed care industry. Yeah, okay, this is a big number sample. This isn't a small company that had a little something that happened out of band. By the time you have 28 million people in your database, you know how sick they are going to be. You know how many live births you should expect. You know how many surgeries you're going to have. I mean, it's all pretty well known. The law of large numbers makes that a very sticky number, unless something really drastically changes. If something really drastic happens, like, I don't know, there's a war, famine, pestilence, like it has to be something really dramatic to make a law of large numbers figure like this go this far off the reservation. But that's what happened. They got it just not just wrong, but really wrong. So Jeff here goes on to speculate. He says, quote, Centene's customers are possibly the most heavily jab propagandized populations on planet Earth. Its core customer base includes Medicaid recipients, ACA exchange enrollees, and Medicare Advantage members, i.e. seniors and low-income working-age folks. These are precisely the populations that face the most aggressive vaccine outreach, were most subject to institutional mandates and incentives, and had the fewest options to resist or opt out. End quote. So is that an explanatory function? It's possible. Now, just as a reminder, you remember what we went through? Remember, we were looking at a winter of severe illness and death. This came to us from Jeff Zients speaking for Biden, if such a thing is possible. Remember this? You know, New York Post reporting in July of 2021 before any real data had come in, because remember, the jabs were just put into place in January of 2021. So here in July of 2021, unvaccinated people entering death lottery, West Virginia Governor Jim Justice says. Looks like he may have had that backwards. But don't forget, you were told in no uncertain terms in September of 2021 that you were 11 times more likely to die from COVID if you were unvaccinated. 11 times doesn't scare you? How about 20 times? You were 20 times more likely to die from COVID-19 according to Texas. Still not scared? Would you believe 97 times, you were 97 times more likely to die from COVID if you were unvaccinated than if you were boosted, according to the CDC at this point in time? Turns out all of that was actually wrong. Not just wrong, but stupendously wrong. Fraudulent data, all this and that. Remember how it started? Newsweek in August of 21 saying, are you unvaccinated? Well, then it's time to make an end-of-life plan. And then in June of 2025, they say, COVID vaccines heart risk warning update now issued by the FDA. So listen, folks, we don't know for sure what's causing the fertility, the morbidity, and the death issues. But there's one thing that correlates with those times really tightly. And at a minimum, it needs to be conclusively ruled out or ruled in. One way or the other, we have to get to the bottom of the data. And so that's what I'm hoping RFK Jr. does. That's what I'm hoping we finally do. Can we just have the data? Enough of the gaslighting. Enough of the correlation does not equal causation. Well, yes, it does if you see it often enough. If I hear a bang and then I have a hole in my body and that guy's got a gun, I think I'm free to conclude that this is a causative event that happened right here. So with that, just remember, it didn't have to be this way. We knew things in 2022. We knew things in 2021. We knew things even in 2020 that really could have changed this all. But we're starting to see big impacts now. Now that it's finally hitting dollars, now that it's finally hitting Wall Street, now that health insurance and life insurance companies are getting smoked, maybe now that money's involved, will we care enough? Maybe. It's so disappointing, my fellow humans. At any rate, that's my report for today. I will be going on for subscribers on the July 4th here report in 2025. We're going to talk about this war on reality, market additions, three warning signs here, as far as I'm concerned, that equities are very stretched and in unstable territory. So with that, step on by if you want to talk about finance and markets and things like that. I will see all of you at Peak Prosperity back home. Everybody else, have a great weekend. I hope you're enjoying your 4th of July. Bye for now.